You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Behind Enemy Lines, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast. Listen in as we go in-depth with beat writers that cover Tiger opponents. What's the vibe around their team? What are the matchups to watch out for? Who will win the game? All these questions will be answered. Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome back to Go Tigers 247's Behind Enemy Lines. This is week number two of Behind Enemy Lines, and we have a very special guest. It is week two, Memphis versus Navy, and I've got Joe Miller, who is the color commentator for the Navy Radio Network. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for joining me.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it. College football underway, so obviously things didn't go the right way for both of us during week one, so we're looking to rectify that in week two.
How good is it to have college football back, though?
It is amazing. I mean, especially with this, you know, Labor Day weekend and everything like that. I mean, with a game every, you know, day. And look, where we're at in the Mid-Atlantic region, obviously there's a lot of NFL teams, but my number one passion is still college football, and it doesn't disappoint usually.
Obviously, we have had some of the weirdest couple of years in college, in sports, really, and not even just in sports, but in this world. It's been a pretty crazy couple of years with COVID and things like that. Does it feel like it does in Memphis, where things are in Annapolis? Does it feel like things are kind of back to normal?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, being back in the press box this weekend, there was no restrictions. There was no mass, the food was out, last couple of years it was boxes. And, the first year obviously was a really tough year for Navy. I think trying to deal with some of the military restrictions that go around it and trying to be as safe as possible and do the right thing. Head coach Kenny Amatalolo, one of the things he talked about was like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm trying to do the best for my players. These parents send these kids to me, and I'm trying to look out for all of them and try to figure out the best way to get through it, because there was a ton of unknown. And I think out of that, it does feel like things are back to normal. There's, they're meeting, and there was restrictions on weight room time. It was a lot that was going on at the academy, especially that first year. And I think for the first time, things do feel like it's back to normal, and everything is full speed ahead.
I didn't even think about that aspect of it. The fact that, obviously Navy being a military institution, you guys probably had a little bit different protocols in place than most college institutions. It's interesting that, there's a lot of unknowns, I guess, for you guys, especially, being a part Sure. of the military, right?
Yeah, I mean, it changed, at different times, but early on, I mean, they were sequestered on the grounds of the United States Naval Academy. They could not leave. So, and that was a strain on a lot of people. And, basically they were only let out, and this was early on, let out of the rooms to sort of get some fresh air. And then they had to go back. And it was a tough time. I think everybody kind of struggled with trying to figure out what was best. But, yeah, definitely it was a weird time, because I remember early on talking to even last year, going into last year, they have a massive weight room, just a ginormous weight room, but there were still limits on how many people could be there at the same time, even though it's this giant building. They were restricting access for, so guys would have to go, and look, time is valuable at the United States Naval Academy. I mean, everything is sort of structured out. So to have these situations where, hey, you can go get a lift for 45 minutes, but then another group has to come, and then we have to realize that we got to work this within the frame of their schedule and some of the military commitments. It was daunting, and all that's gone. But yeah, it was a weird situation. Even 2 years ago, leading up to that game against BYU, I mean, Navy didn't. I mean, they practiced, but there was no contact, and BYU was full bore, and it was. We kind of went into that game sort of trying to figure out what does a team that has been practicing look like a team that hasn't been hitting each other. And I think you saw what happened on the field. And so, yeah, I think they've worked through all that. It's back to normal. But, yeah, there was some – it was definitely a unique situation for the first couple years, I mean, the last 2 years under some of the restrictions.
Well, like I said, it definitely has been a weird couple of years. It feels like things are back to normal. Obviously, not to take away from the fact that COVID is still a reality, that the families' sure. lives are being affected by it. But it definitely is nice to have some of those restrictions released off of these programs. So I wanted to jump into the kind of the history of Memphis versus Navy. Obviously, since Navy joined the AAC in 2015, was it 134 years of independence from a conference?
Yeah.
In 2015, I mean, that's a huge, huge, I guess, a jump or a leap into, you know, playing for a conference. And yeah. The Tigers and the Midshipmen have played each other seven times now since 2015. It feels like Navy and Memphis are always every year going to play each other, which is, I love it. Honestly, I love, my dream is to get up to Annapolis and see a game. We were talking about it actually in Starkville with a couple of media members for yeah. Memphis. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. It for a lot of our media members in Memphis, it's kind of a bucket list slash when you get to go up there to Annapolis and see a game, it's just a different sure. vibe up there. What's it like in Annapolis during football season?
Yeah, it is. It's certainly a different vibe. I mean, it's interesting. You know, I've been on the crew now, I guess this is my ninth or 10th year. And we, you know, when we were independent, I mean, we went to, you know, well, obviously we go to Notre Dame every other year, but we also played at Penn State and we played at Ohio State. And, you know, we had those big game environments. But I, you know, the first matchup to me with Memphis was as big a game that first year with Paxton Lynch, and you guys were rolling pretty well along there. And that was, you know, Memphis was in the top 25. The Liberty Bowl was rocking. And I remember that game and thinking, this is why they joined a conference. But yeah, the vibe in Annapolis, you know, it's the pageantry, it's everything. You know, it's interesting. I try not to, because I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been trying to, I try to sort of not just take it in, like just say, oh, this is what it's, you know, like at every, you know, every game. I try to say, like, this is a special, and it is special. I mean, I always get chills. One of the things that is a small thing, but it always affects me is that after the walk on, the march on, excuse me, of the Midshipmen, right before they get off the field, they do tip their cap and they sell out. They say, you know, go Tigers if it was Memphis there, or they, you know, go Delaware and tip the cap to the visiting fans. And that doesn't happen anywhere else.
No.
I always love that little moment there because it's like, you know, welcome, but also like, you know, we appreciate, you know, we respect. And I think I try to respect it as much as possible. And I think that's the thing that always gets me as I try to, you know, put myself into the fact that, you know, this is a unique situation. I love going to some of the road stadiums, but it's just different. And I try sometimes, I don't want to be over sappy because, you know, I understand that people don't get to experience it all the time. Like it is really cool environment. I try to make sure that, I don't become too sappy and too over dramatic, but it is really fun. It is great environment. And it's just different. It's different than anywhere else, you know, we get to go. And that's what makes it special. But it's a sense of family. It's a sense of America. It's a sense of duty. It's a sense of commitment to something. I mean, it just all those adjectives that you throw out there.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. You know, in a time period in this country where everybody is, it feels more divided than I think it probably already than it really actually is. There's something about when you go onto a military installation like the Navy Institute or institution and go, this is just beautiful here, man. Like we're playing a game and this is nice. Like it's fun to play a game against each other, but in the end, it's much bigger than what we're actually. It's much bigger than just the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense of like family, even though you're not like you're not literally family. There's a sense that there's something that ties you to somebody else, which is, I think, unique in that environment. And look, the midshipmen come from all around the country. I mean, that's the other thing. You're basically, you know, every state is represented there. It's a melting pot, but there's this common link that sort of binds everybody that, yeah, we understand what's going on there. And I think that's part of it that makes it's, I don't know, it's comforting, I guess, more than anything.
I think comforting is a great word. I think comforting is a great word for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you get a chance to come up here, tour the campus. It is one of the best campuses. Like you'll get blown away by how nice the campus is. Like it is right on the water on the banks of the Severn. Take a tour, get over there and get a look at it. And then obviously, you know, stop on by in the booth one time and we'll talk. So yeah, definitely come up one time.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Just in terms of the football teams, man, like I said, the Tigers and Midshipmen have played each other 7 times since 2015. Overall record right now is 4-3 going Memphis's way, but the Tigers have had to go on a 3-game winning streak to get there over the past 3 seasons. But, you know, Memphis and Navy have become pretty much yearly opponents at this point. How do Navy fans and the team really view this game against Memphis every year when it comes up on the schedule in the off season? How do Navy fans view this game?
I think most fans look, especially with, you know, UCF, Cincinnati leaving, those programs leaving, I think they look at Memphis as, you know, the top tier, one of the top tier programs in the AAC, the team that, you know, you have to focus in on. And look, this series has been dictated almost exclusively by home field advantage. I mean,
100%.
You know, that's been the difference, you know, in these games. It's, you know, they've been some crazy games, some really, you know, important games. We played, you know, some primetime, you know, I think we played a Thursday night game. Obviously, that first game was a Saturday night game that was on ESPN Plus, on ESPN 2, and that was a big deal. But I think people in general look at Memphis as one of the stronger teams in the AAC and sort of the, you know, what you're trying to get to in the AAC, and that's the upper echelon of the conference. The other thing for Navy, for whatever, you know, they have a couple roots in Tennessee, but they've had, I think, three of their last six captains have become from not only Tennessee, but the greater Memphis area. So for whatever reason, obviously Keenan Reynolds was from Tennessee, one of the all-time. Kip Franklin, who's a captain on the team this year, is, I believe, from just outside of Memphis as well. So it has been it's not only been like a, you know, a little rivalry. It's been a because so many players are from the Tennessee area. Navy has recruited so many players from Tennessee. Like, it's become like a, almost a second homecoming for a lot of those players getting back to play in the Liberty Bowl.
So as I've taken a look at, you know, Navy's history, you know, you look at the coach, you look at coach, and you look at the idea of the Navy football team. And there's one word that I would use to describe it, and that's consistency, right? Like, consistency has been a key word to describe this team, this, you know, the institution as a whole. Your coach has been there at the helm since 2007. And during that time frame, there's only been three seasons that he's been under 500. You know, the last two seasons were obviously two of them. But consistency is such an abnormal word in coaching, especially in coaching in today's college football ethos. Like, why is consistency and loyalty so different at Navy, especially regarding the tenure of your head coach?
But I think the first thing when you ask coaches that, even not only head coaches, not even the football program, other programs, they say it's the kids. It's the, I mean, these are really like, I hate to, you know, be, you know, over dramatic, but these are really great kids that are high achievers and have done great things, and they're good people. And I think the first thing is you get to coach these kids. The second thing I think is for, especially for head coach Kennedy Mantalolo, and he's talked about this a lot. I mean, there was times where, you know, he almost left to go to BYU. There was also a time where he almost left to go to Arizona. So there's been other programs that have come calling. But, you know, he's talked about it. Like, even before he was the head coach, he was an assistant here. He's basically been here outside of 1 year since 2000. And it becomes a part of, you know, his family. It's where he raised his kids. He talks about it all the time. This is, you know, this has become, you know, next to his faith. I think this is, you know, this is, and his family, this is very important to him that he's the head football coach at Navy, and he gets to work with these kids, and he gets the opportunity to see them day in and day out and see them grow. And I think that's a big part of it. I mean, it's certainly a nice place to live and everything, but I think it's the kids that every coach you talk to at, you know, depending on, you know, I work with a lot of different programs there doing their games, and that's the consistency there. They say I'm blessed to work with these kids more than anything.
So coming into this year, you know, we obviously there's expectations that are placed on each football team. And, you know, obviously Navy under Coach Niumatalolo has had a couple of years of not being as successful on the field as they would like to be. Coming into this year, what was the vibe around the Navy team?
Well, I think they were excited. I mean, I think that's the thing out of last week's game against Delaware. There was, going into it, there was a lot of excitement. They were really excited about, you know, not being a COVID year, to have a true off season. There was some excitement about the, they played much better down the stretch last year. I mean, the last three or four games, you know, East Carolina beat them on a, 56-yard field goal at the buzzer last year. You know, they had the ball late with a chance to beat Cincinnati. In Annapolis, you know, they obviously beat Army, which was a big deal. They beat Temple late in the season. So I think they were thinking that there was some carryover from last year, returning starting quarterback, which they haven't had in 3 years here with Ty Lavitai coming back at quarterback. So I think that's the, you know, that's going to be interesting to see on Saturday, is that you had this buildup, you had the excitement, And it kind of fell flat on Saturday against the Blue Hens. So how do you get back in that mode and get back to what you thought? And I think there were some positives. There's no doubt. I thought the defense, a lot of young guys on the defense flashed. So there's some good things there. But I think there was a big excitement level about what they were going to be this season. And I think now you have to recover and regroup after losing that game. And you know, you had three bad turnovers. It kind of put them behind the eight ball. They battled back and they had a chance to tie it late, driving there. And they, you know, just obviously did not get it done in that situation. So it's, you know, a lot is going to be interesting this week. We haven't had a chance to talk to coaches or anybody yet, but it's going to be, you know, how do you recover? How do you get over that disappointment and how do you move forward? But I still think there's some building blocks there that they're excited about, especially on the defensive side of the football field. I think generally speaking, talking to some of the coaches, they think this is they've said it multiple times. This is the most athletic group they've had as a team. And watching the defense on Saturday, it has the potential to be one of the best defenses they put on the field in a long time.
Obviously, you mentioned Ty Lavatai. Is it Lavatai or Lavatai?
Lavatai.
Lavatai.
Yeah, Lavatai.
Him coming
back. You
had
it first, right?
Listen, I'm from Memphis. I'm from the South, man. I don't ever trust my pronunciations on names, to be honest with you. So I appreciate you helping me. But with, you know, him coming back, and obviously the quarterback is the most important position, I think, in all of sports. You know, both Memphis and Navy have returning starting quarterbacks. So there wasn't really necessarily a question mark, I guess, at that position for both teams. Obviously, you know, Seth Hennigan came into this offseason after having a fantastic year last year as a true freshman and had to win the starting job all over again against Grant Gunnell, who, you know, ultimately ended up transferring away from Memphis because Seth won the job pretty quickly. Having Ty Lavatai and you know, him coming back as a starting quarterback is a huge deal for Navy. But what are some other additions and losses to the Navy team that we saw last year that take the field?
Yeah, I mean, they were basically – none of the guys that handled the ball were coming back, you know, any of the starters. So the B-back, the fullback, the A-backs, which are the slot backs, all those players were gone. So you were looking at the – coming into Saturday against Delaware, it was the fewest amount of touches that either the B-back group, which was basically one coming in the season, and the slot backs had combined. So they're basically completely new at the fullback position and the A-back position. And I think you saw some of the issues that they were trying to work through on Saturday with some of the things that come along with that, you know, holding on to the football, the mesh point, which is so like the most important part of the triple option to get that initial mesh between the quarterback and the fullback. So I think that was the big question mark coming into this weekend, was the slot backs and the fullbacks. Basically, there's only been a handful of guys that have seen any time on the field. And we saw some of those issues pop up. So that was probably the biggest, you know, issue as far as experience. On the defensive side, Gianni Brooks, Woodsidu is one of their top linebackers. He obviously a big newcomer. They're really excited. They have basically about three guys on the defensive side of the football field that they think are sophomores that are going to play well. And the tough thing is freshmen rarely play at the Naval Academy just because of plebe summer, which is, about a 2.5-3 week sort of boot camp like thing, the best way I could probably explain it. So they don't really have a lot of expectations that freshmen will play. There are a couple on their depth chart, but mainly it was some of the sophomore class that they're really excited about. Tyler Fletcher, a linebacker who made a big play on Saturday. But I think the biggest part of the offense coming in was trying to figure out the fullbacks and the slotbacks. And I think they're still working through some of those issues.
Was that weird to see? I mean, I know Navy has notoriously been very, very stingy giving the ball up. Was that disconcerting to see in this game against Delaware? Was it just like, what in the world is going on right now?
They turned it over 8 times last year, the entire season, 8 right. turnovers. And they turned it over 3 times in the first 20 minutes of Saturday. And that just doesn't happen. And, you know, talking to some of the people afterwards, I think there was some big-time frustration on the sideline because of that. And they tried to – and I think they tried to do too many things, you know, to, you know, overcompensate, if you will, maybe, for some of those issues. But, yeah, it was – I think – I think I looked at it last year. I think the last five or six games, they only turned it over once. And as I said, eight times the entire season. So it was completely, look, they can't turn the ball over and win games. They just, it's tough for them to do. Luckily their defense kind of kept them in the game to allow them to have a chance there late. But that's the first and foremost. You can't turn the ball over, and that's that can't happen with this offense, because you're looking at, you know, 12 possessions per game when you're running the triple option and taking some time off the clock. So that's got to change, obviously. It was frustrating for them and the coaching staff.
So when you look at a game, when you look at a Navy-Memphis game, or a Navy versus anybody, but let's talk specifically about Navy and Memphis. When you look at a Navy and Memphis game, at the end of the day, when you look at the game box score that comes our way at the end of the day, what is it that you're looking for? If there's one stat, if there's one theme or thread that you see that shows you, like, hey, this has been a good game for Navy, or this has been a tough game for Navy against Memphis, what is that one thing you're looking for?
I mean, a lot of times it's time of possession. I mean, that's, to me, what Navy specializes in, because that feeds into a lot of other areas. I remember the first game we were down there. It was a Saturday night game. And I remember some of the Memphis people in the press box going like, wow, you guys really, you know, I'm going to get home. Usually our games are 4.5 hours, but, you guys play fast. I'm going to actually get home before, midnight tonight. And I think that's part of it. I think time of possession, obviously turnovers in any football game, it doesn't really matter who's playing. If you turn the ball over, you're not going to have a ton of success. But I look at time of possession. And the other thing that I think is important is explosive plays. When this offense is rolling, when Navy's offense is rolling, yeah, a lot of it is 3 yards in a cloud of dust. There's no doubt about it. But they have to be able to pick up chunk yardage, because it's just really tough going down the field getting 3 yards, 4 yards. Then you're third and three all the time. And then you got to get three. And then, so you got to have some, you have to have some chunk plays that are mixed in there. So I look at time possession, and I look a lot of times at explosive plays, because if you get four or five of those and you add on to what they can do possessing the ball, that's the perfect mix for me.
That was one of the most frustrating things as someone who covers Memphis, when Malcolm Perry played for Navy, was that he had that ability, right? He had that 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but then all of a sudden he would throw a bomb over the middle. Yeah. And, just a fantastic, fantastic player. The quarterback now, Ty, does he have that same ability to bomb down the field as well as the 3 yards in a cloud of dust?
I think they think he can actually throw the ball a little bit better than Malcolm. What is missing is there is some of that explosive plays running the football. I mean, I always go back to this for Malcolm. He had 26 explosive runs in 2019, which is almost double any other quarterback that has played at Navy, keeping that stat over the last 10 or 15 years. And the last 2 years, the quarterbacks combined for 5 explosive runs. So that kind of tells you the difference that Malcolm was able to present to defense, is that ability to make plays running the football. And I think Ty does a really good job of throwing the football. And the offensive line gave him good pocket. There was times this year. I think what you're looking with Ty at quarterback is you're looking for the other players, the slot backs, the fullbacks, to have more of the explosive runs. Now, Ty's going to break one every now and then, and that's part of the offense. But I think they really expect more of the slot backs and the fullbacks to pick up that pace as far as explosive runs. So that's the difference between the two quarterbacks. But Ty, came from a spread offense in high school. He's comfortable throwing the football. I think you might see them try to mix that in a little bit more on Saturday, a little bit early on the contest this week. But, we'll see. But Ty can definitely throw it.
When you have a quarterback like Ty Lavate who can throw the ball, and, obviously, with a young backfield, trying to learn on the fly how to play with each other, how important is this triple threat, triple read? I know it's the backbone of the Navy offense, but does Coach Niumatalolo, does he ever think about changing up the game plan and throwing more, or is he just, we are going to stay within ourselves and do what we do?
Yeah. I mean, I've asked this many times. They don't script plays. They kind of, they work off what the defense is doing more or less. So like Delaware early in the game last week, you know, basically for a lot, they had nine guys in the box. So they tried to open things up a little bit. So it's not, I think they've dabbled in a couple of years ago. They brought in a new coach to try to spread things out a little bit and do some different things. But they still are bread and butter what they do best, and that's running the football. So that's still their number one goal, and they don't try to stray away from it. But if teams are giving them the pass, they're certainly going to try to take advantage of it.
So obviously this week one did not go well for either team. Obviously Navy lost to Delaware, Memphis went to Mississippi State, and just it was a rough week for both teams. How important is this game for both, for Navy in particular? I think, you know, Memphis fans and Memphis media has already, you know, said, man, this Navy game is an absolute must win for the Tigers. How do you see everybody viewing this game on the Navy side of it against Memphis?
No, it's pretty, you know, it's up there. I mean, I think after losing to Delaware, to try to sort of rectify, you know, you always have the same conversation after a game like that. It's like everything that we still want to accomplish is still all in front of us. You know, compete in the conference, win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. But I think to sort of wipe away that game is almost more important than winning it. You want to win the game, but you also want to sort of get that bad taste out of your mouth, which I think is important as well. So I think from that perspective, it's huge for them. And when you look at their schedule, it's going to get harder as the season goes along. I mean, I think more than anything, they wanted to get off to a good start because the last couple of years they've really struggled in the opening part of the season, and that's a big part of what they're doing. So I think it's huge for them. Look, you want to get your first win of the season. I don't think they really call things must-win games outside of Army right. and Air Force, but it's pretty up there for me as you look at this game and how this season plays out, what you're trying to accomplish.
So overall, what are your expectations for the game? Not a prediction really per se, but what are your expectations for Saturday, Memphis versus Navy?
I expect the games in Annapolis have been pretty crazy. You know, there's a couple times where they were going up and down the field, but we were able to hold them to field goals that kept games close. And then we were able to nick it at the end. And I think I'm more interested in, last year, I thought Hennigan, the quarterback in Memphis, was played as well as I've seen any quarterback play against us in a while. I thought he was fantastic that game. So I think it's really going to be a matchup of defensively what they try to do against him to confuse him and do different things. I know it came later in the game, but I thought the transfer from Northern Illinois, the running back there, looked really good. So, you know, stopping that running attack, limiting the big plays is always, it seems like, to Memphis, to me, the big issue. I mean, you guys have had so many big-time playmakers there. It seems like, especially special teams. I mean, especially in Memphis, there's a couple times where kick returns really change the game, change the dynamic of the game. So you got to avoid those big plays. I think Navy's going to go back to what they've done and try to run the football and be aggressive that way. And I think they'll have some success doing that. Obviously, you can't turn the ball over. And you gotta get to Hennigan a little bit. I thought he was tremendous last year against us. And I think that's going to be the key defensively. I feel like it's going to be a low-scoring game, though. I don't feel like it's going to be a high-scoring, you know, type 38-31 type game. I think it's going to be sort of like it was a couple years ago, you know, 22-21 type sort of game. And in those situations, in those games, you know, turnovers and the little things kind of matter. Most one thing to watch this week for Navy, their kicker missed last week with an injury. And Bijan Nichols, who was their starting kicker, their senior captain, one of the best kickers in Navy history. So if he's healthy, I think that would be big, because I think this is going to be sort of that type of game where there's, you know, point here, point there, and field goals and field position is going to matter big in this contest.
Joe, thank you so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate it, taking your time during this day. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to this game on Saturday.
Kenny, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Behind Enemy Lines. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you are interested in content all about the University of Memphis Tiger Athletics, hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Also, you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for our VIP membership.
hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.